B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Welcome in and good morning, everybody. Farzetta and Trey in the morning. Mark Farzetta, Trey Thomas, Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Sam Wilson with you on this Thanksgiving Eve. What a wonderful day. I absolutely love it. I used to love going out on Wednesday nights and getting crazy.
Oh, boy. Kids are going to be wilding out there tonight.
It is amateur hour, so good luck, everybody. Don't be too stupid. All right? Remember, Uber's a good thing, and it's not a bad thing to have your friend's parents just pick you up somewhere. Let's not forget about that.
Your friend's parents.
I would go out with my buddies, and my one buddy's dad, who's like a second father to me, Mr. Brennan, shout out. I'll pick you guys up, go wherever you want, and, well, just let me know, and I'll get you.
So Mr. Brennan was cool when you guys all stumbled into the car?
Well, this was when we were, of age drinking. Yeah, he was fine with us.
Oh, okay.
This wasn't like when we were in high school. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This
is like you don't drink in high school.
Of course not. No, never. So then what you do is you just pile into his minivan and then he'd drop us off at home.
In the minivan.
It was a good time.
Hey, man, minivans are awesome.
Minivan, mega fun.
That was my first car.
A minivan?
A Chrysler Town and Country.
Yeah.
It had wood paneling, captain seats,
man. Oh, yeah.
Cassette player.
Why did you get rid of it?
It just broke down.
I remember
you're part of a special society when you have a minivan. You know, they all speak to each other.
Yeah, Jimmy Butler's a part of it.
It's like when you ride around on a motorcycle, you wave. You know?
Philip Rivers, he's a minivan man.
Of course. He has 30 kids.
I don't think it's a minivan. I think it's an actual bus.
Yeah, it might be. His actual transportation from Sandy, because he still lives in San Diego, to L.A. is a minivan that he has a driver, and then he has the back all decked out with film gear. So he can watch all of his film while commuting.
Wait, but that's not an actual minivan.
You can't take the family car to practice.
I
thought it was like a bus like Ben Simmons takes to the...
It might be, but it's kind of minivan-ish.
Like, you have him in a Nissan Quest, basically. He's not in a Nissan Quest, okay, which is what we had. What's up? But my brother and I would always fight over who wasn't driving the minivan. Because we had this little clunker that we had.
It's a bad reputation. It's a fine vehicle.
You know what? It never failed me.
Yeah.
It never failed me. It always was a steady car. But here's the thing. Today is, we're going to have a lot of fun with the Thanksgiving being tomorrow and all that stuff. But today is a day of influencers. Influencers. And one is sitting directly to my left, Bob, your right, Jamie in front of you. And his name is William Wyatt Trey Thomas.
Yes. Because I'm an influencer?
I don't know if you're aware of this, Trey.
Oh, okay.
You're an influencer.
Really?
Yesterday, I was notified by an NBC producer, Rob Kessler is his name. He does a phenomenal job with NBC 10. And he told me that he heard your breakdown of Andre Dillard and him basically saying, "Hey, guys, this is the play," with his footwork and whatnot. So he brought it up to Andre Dillard.
Oh, no.
In the locker room. Yesterday.
How did that go?
Did he mention Trey by name? Honestly.
I believe he did.
Okay.
And he said basically that Trey was working on or was breaking down the film, if you will, and said that you were giving away the play by your stance. And that was Trey's analysis, as he's told us many times already on this fine Wednesday. He told us Monday, told us Tuesday, and I'm sure we'll get into it today. And according to Mr. Kessner, the response from Andre Dillard, who started at right tackle for the first time since he was 13 years old, he said, "I'll have to ask him about that." So here's what I want you to do, Trey. Apparently, Rob Kessner asked Andre Dillard if anyone brought that up to him about his footwork, about his stance, letting the other team know, in this case, the Seahawks, if it was a run or a pass, right or left. And he said, "I'll have to talk to him about that."
Talk to who?
Talk to you.
Isn't that Coach Stoughton's job?
No, they haven't brought it up to him yet?
Apparently not.
Isn't that what film review Sunday night and Monday morning's for?
Have the players not seen the coaches yet from Sunday, Trey?
Yeah, absolutely. What's today? Today is Wednesday. Yeah, so they usually go in on Tuesdays. So they have Mondays off and go to work.
Yeah, it's not like they just go into the NovaCare complex to talk to us media people. Like, they're there to work. They're there to put in some time in the film room, treatment, whatever it might be.
What the hell is going on?
if he needs to talk, I'm here.
Rosa Thomas was sitting on the couch next to William Wyatt Thomas III.
Yes.
And noticed it. And was calling out plays. Am I correct, Mr. Thomas?
Yes. Yeah, she was sitting there like, "Oh, that's a run. That's a pass.
All right.
That's a run."
The coaches haven't mentioned to him.
"That's a pass. That's a run. Oh, it was a play action, but yeah."
Wow.
Now we
is Rosa interested in a job in the offensive coaching staff?
How is she with scouting? You know what?
This How is she with scouting thing. Wide receivers?
I don't know. Like, when I played,
can't be any worse.
She used to get down in the. She would tell me that when I played, she would be down in the basement and would get in a 3-point stance and would and would like block with me.
That's awesome.
Like, yeah.
Really?
So she'd be all fired up because I watched the game with her one time and I'm like. I don't know if this is going to work. She gets all fired up and animated, and she's jumping up, running up to the screen, and hopping around.
Right.
And I'm like, what are you doing? I mean, we were watching the Florida State game.
That's awesome.
And so she was like, oh, yeah, when you played, I used to be in my 3-point stance and then a 2-point stance, pass setting. Like, yeah.
Your wife would.
Yeah.
Was her form better than Dillard's?
That's awesome.
Be honest with me. Did she ever beat you? Did she ever, like, beat you on a play, swim move, get around you?
What she was doing, she was blocking.
Oh.
She was, working the blocking.
Oh, she was blocking.
Yeah.
Did she ever put you on your ass?
She was, like, working the technique with me. I mean, I allow her to.
Where are we going?
That's love. We're going to a place of love, Bob. That's where we're going. Place of love.
And cue the music.
But that is, so Rosa right there is an influencer on her side.
That's right. Oh, man. She want to come in with a little bull rush. Come on, mama. I'm not going to even punch that. I'm going to just open my hands up and accept
No throat rips here.
No throat rips there. Unless you want a little.
All right. All right. Happy holidays, everyone.
Yeah.
I never knew that about you. The more we know. Yeah. That's beautiful. It's a beautiful relationship. But you, nonetheless, sir, are an influencer.
Hey.
You're an influencer. You've influenced Andre Dillard. You let me know if he texts, calls, or gets a message to you, other than that one through the media, through me to you, about you reaching out to let him know how he's tipping plays, if you will. But here's the good news. Lane Johnson's supposed to be back this Sunday.
Yes!
So we don't have to worry about him playing right tackle
That's
anymore.
That's good.
The other part of this that goes influencer-wise is that there's a man that influenced a lot of people's thinking over the last 48 hours. And that man's name is Dan Orlovsky of ESPN, friend of the show, and a guy who does a great job now breaking down the film for ESPN. And he's going to be on with us. Get this, 6 o'clock audience, in about 10 minutes.
Nice.
Early guest on the program.
Early guest.
He was like, we got to talk about this because he didn't like, I like to say, me correcting his first analysis of the play.
You did challenge him.
I did.
It bothered him that you were wrong about something.
I don't think I was that wrong. Even though he said, as I counted the zeros, I believe it was 1,000,000,000% wrong.
Yeah.
I think he said I was 1,000,000,000% wrong on breaking down his breakdown of J.J. Arthega's Whiteside's route that he ran when Carson threw behind him.
Well, that's on you for trusting a rookie over a fourth-year quarterback that knows everything.
Here's the problem. Even if... I'll say this again.
I can't wait for you two to go at it.
Oh, bring it. All right. I can't say it enough. I can't stress enough. You want to talk about influences, okay? Listen to this. All right? Remember, I was backup quarterback for 1 year my freshman year of high school. Let's not forget about that. For 1 year, I'm sorry.
Fair.
Did I say 1 year?
Is Dan aware of this?
I'm about to bring it. So he's going to be like, oh my God, were you backup quarterback for one game in high school your freshman year? And I'll be like, totally. And he's going to be like, I totally get it. So that's going to go back and forth between me and Dan. Because no matter what, the ball's behind J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. If he continues the route, whether a slant or a dig or an in, whatever it was, the ball's behind him. Bada boop, bada beep.
You're going to die on this hill, huh?
Oh, I'm dead. I'm already rotting on this hill, unfortunately. But Dan Orlovsky is going to join us in about 10 minutes to help us break down that. And the man was influencing a lot of people's thought about Carson. But here's the interesting thing. As interesting as that was to break that down and bat that around yesterday, we all agreed to a man, even with the struggles at wide receiver, Carson Wentz played his worst game.
Oh, yeah.
We all, yeah.
Absolutely.
So it's really just the mind. It's like, I feel like I'm breaking down the Nelson Aguilar play at the end of the Dallas Cowboy game. Like, the Eagles weren't winning that game. Yet, Nelson Aguilar could have at least laid out to show us that he gave some effort. But that brings me to what happened at the end of yesterday's show, which was the Michael Vick audio saying that Carson Wentz will fail in Philadelphia started to make its way around the Philadelphia media, including this very show. And we played that sound for you. We will play that in its entirety. And I hate playing anything longer than, honestly, 30 seconds as a clip. This is about 2 minutes. And it has Marcellus Wiley. It has Michael Vick. It has both them talking about how, ultimately, Carson Wentz is going to fail. The thing that is so alarming about that is that you have a young quarterback that's just not even, he hasn't even started the $107.9 million part of his contract yet. That starts next year. So if you're going to have a guy that two former athletes, one former quarterback says is ultimately going to fail, we are in for a long road here. Long road. And the only hope, I truly believe this, and both Michael Vick and Marcellus Wiley point this out, the only real solution to this is lighting a match and rebuilding everything around Carson Wentz, at least when it comes to the skill position. You can do it with the offensive line, but you know Dillard's going to be your starting left tackle next
Absolutely.
Year. You're going to have Lane Johnson at right tackle, Brandon Brooks obviously at right guard. We'll see what happens with left guard and center. But as of right now, you're going to have to rebuild that entire offense around Carson Wentz. No Alshon, no Nelson, maybe no Jamie, congratulations, no Mac Hollins. Miles Sanders might be the only one that sticks around.
Don't tease me.
You're getting rid of Ertz?
Ertz could probably stay because they're buddies. They get along.
Yeah. The problem is Alshon and Deshaun are immovable.
Deshaun?
Yeah.
I mean, Deshaun hasn't been a problem because he hasn't been there.
Yeah, I know, but that's part of the problem in counting on him.
Oh, right. Okay, sure. No, I get you there. But as far as Alshon goes, as far as Nelson Agholor goes, you're probably going to have to redo that whole thing. Your wide receiver needs a bit of a makeover.
Well, Nelson's gone, and Agholor, if you weren't tied into such a bad contract, mm-hmm. I think, you know, you would part ways with him in a heartbeat also. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. You brought it up yesterday, and it really had me thinking. Do you really think, in order for Carson to do well, now say these guys are still productive players,
uh-huh.
you would still have to part with them because they have the stink of Nick Foles on them?
In listening to former athletes talk about it, guys that, you know,
yeah.
I do value their opinion.
And it's a question I'm honestly asking
right.
you.
And I value Dan Orlovsky's opinion as well. But listening to those guys talk about the way you need to light things on fire sometimes, if you're really going to invest in this quarterback as being your leader, then you need to get rid of the guys that you think are the snitches.
Seattle did it.
The only difference I call with Seattle is that they won a Super Bowl already. Russell Wilson was a Super Bowl winning quarterback.
But then it happened, and then they were like, all right, Russell Wilson's our guy. We got to fix this.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Like, they didn't play any time, Super Bowl or not. They were just like, all right, let's fix this.
Yes, absolutely. But they also gave the keys to the car to Russell Wilson after they gave it a bunch of guaranteed money to Matt Flynn after a 6-touchdown game again with the Packers.
That was wild.
So, like, that Pete Carroll, they go out and sign a quarterback. Imagine they sign a quarterback like that here in Philadelphia. And they're like, oh, yeah, move over, rookie starting. It's like, wait, what about all this money?
Yeah.
And then you win a Super Bowl, and you're like, okay, we're totally cool with it. So that can change things. It doesn't bode well when you do that to that degree, when you get rid of a number one target, like a guy like Golden Tate could have been in that offense before he was traded to Detroit. Who was another one? Percy Harvin, I think, was another one they ended up moving on from.
Yep.
So you keep on kind of rotating that, and you have that revolving door. But as of right now, when it comes to the Eagles, when you hear these two, Marcellus Wiley and also Michael Vick, talk about it, the stink of Nick Foles is an interesting way to put it, Bob. But more or less, yeah, they won with that guy. The offense looked different with him. This is their points, not mine. And if you're going to really win with Carson Wentz, you have to make sure that you have everybody there as one cohesive unit. I think a guy like Miles Sanders, a young guy, I don't think he's been tainted or anything like that.
Yeah.
You could stick with him. So when you think about it, Bob, when you pointed out, maybe it's not a total 100% rebuild, light it all on fire. You could probably keep Zach Ertz, although my guess would be because of the contract and their need to go to other positions and get younger, they might have to move on from, which I'd hate to see because that's one guy I don't think you have to worry about at all with getting on the same page as Carson Wentz. But as far as other guys, it could be not giving forth that max effort, not knowing the playbook, whatever it might be. Those guys, they got to go. There's no return after this season. But unfortunately, the money's just insane. How he might have to do, if he's supposed to be the great cap guy that we all give him credit for, he's going to have to turn that page sooner rather than later.
Well, you brought up a word, snitch, and does that override bad contract? I don't know. I think we're going to find out an awful lot after the season. You know, was it Alshon Jeffrey? Does he have a problem with Carson Wentz? Is that part of the problem? If it is, who am I to say eat $20 million, whatever you have to eat on your cap space, but if you're invested in this quarterback, you're going to have to do something like that. But now, did you guys see the Jalen Mills stuff yesterday? Somebody posted that Jalen Mills had a post of when Carson signed a huge contract. I'm going to have to look it up to get it exactly accurate. But apparently he's put a couple of things out on social media, Jalen Mills has, that weren't very favorable to Carson Wentz. And, you know, it's starting to really put this thought in your head, like, is he really not that liked in the locker room?
There's been three stories that have come out about Carson trying to patch things up in the locker room, including four stories if you include this one, about him trying to make amends in the locker room. And that's shortly after that, we see the dinners. We see the bottle of, Louis on the table?
Yeah,
with
I just
Jackson.
Found it. Somebody, Eagles Nation, put it up, and it says, Jalen Mills liked a video on Instagram that defined Carson Wentz as the most overrated quarterback in history. In June, he also liked a video from the same person in which the creator said the Eagles are the stupidest organization in sports for giving Carson Wentz a $128 million contract.
Now, whether that's Jalen Mills or not, obviously,
the screenshot does say Green Goblin like this.
But Jalen revels in negativity.
Maybe.
I've talked to him about it.
I mean, maybe he is doing that to be like, hey, Carson, you see what they're saying about you?
No, you know what he's saying? He's saying
he's saying
keep that energy.
He's saying we all need.
Yeah. Jalen Mills, after the game against Tampa last year in Tampa, I asked him about the fans that were upset, and he was like, I think he was even liking or retweeting negativity a lot.
Yeah.
And I asked him about it, and he gave me, it was the first time I had heard, keep that same energy. And I was like, does that mean what I think? Okay. You keep booing, basically? And it's like, no, you keep the same type of motivation.
Yeah.
Even though it's a negative motivation, it's still a motivation. Like, even when you're going to cheer us, make sure you're cheering us as loud as you're booing us.
Yeah.
That type of thing. So he revels in that type of negativity. I don't take that as him championing the cause to move on from Carson Wentz.
I agree.
Especially when you tell me about the second thing with the Eagles just being a bad,
Stupidest organization in sports. Mills is an interesting one himself. You bringing him back?
Absolutely.
So am I.
Yeah, I'm definitely bringing him back. You have success with him in your defense the way Jim Schwartz has been able to have success with him in your defense. I'm keeping him.
Same.
And here's the other thing. There's no young corner that's coming up to be like, yeah, it's my job.
Yeah.
I mean, Avante Maddox, and I know he was injured, has taken a step back this year.
Never mind.
Who? Sidney Jones?
Is that unbelievable?
It's pretty wild.
It's almost like he has an injury, the way he's disappeared.
but according to your head coach, he's in a good spot, so that's a good time.
Well, yeah, he is. He's got the heavy jacket on when it's cold.
Yes.
The gloves.
It's uncomfortable.
Yeah, he's got the helmet on the heater.
Whenever I see him, I always go, oh, yeah, that's right. Like, honestly, if I look him in the if I see him in the locker room, I go, oh, that's right, Sidney Jones.
Oh, that's the best cornerback coming out of that draft a couple years ago.
But Trey, going back to Nick Foles, going back to Carson Wentz, going back to Marcell Swiley and Michael Vick, I hear those former athletes talk about it. Do you get a sense that if this is going to work, they need to get rid of at least two key players on this offense, one being Nelson Agholor and the other being Alshon Jeffrey?
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're going to need to make a move just because, it seems like for one, not even on the Foles tip, just that Nelly is, for whatever reason, it seems like the stage is a little too big for him here. And he's he's afraid to go out and just make the big play. And you need receivers. It's not going to always be a perfect ball. And we need you to go out there and make some plays. So, it might be time to move on from him. With Alshon, I mean, if this is something that continues to be a rift where he and Carson keep having these type of situations, if it is him, then you need to make a decision to move on because you don't need that type of poison in the locker room.
Certainly. And what's wild to me is that throughout the season, minus the last two games against the Patriots and the Seahawks, I've seen Carson Wentz manipulate the pocket, extend plays, try to make those plays downfield, and in at least two scenarios, at the end of the game, put the ball in the hands of a receiver to tie or go ahead, and the receiver has dropped the ball. What's happened over the last two, even 2 weeks ago, he still put ball in the hands of Nelson Agholor at the end of the game that would have tied it if you just make the field goal. Next thing you know, you're good to go.
Yeah.
But the last two, for the majority of his play, it just inaccurate, throws in the flat, throws across the middle. And we know what we have wide receiver-wise in this city, and it's nothing worth bragging about. It's nothing that helps him it's nothing that bails him out.
What if Dan says that the receivers aren't where they were supposed to be?
Well, then
we're considering these passes inaccurate, but the receivers aren't where they're supposed to be.
Well, he's 3 for 3 so far,
Trey.
From the film that you and I watched yesterday, 3 for 3.
I trust the quarterback.
I do, too, especially one that played in the NFL.
Yeah,
for several years. Don't you discount my 1 year of freshman football.
Was it 1 year or one game?
It was 1 year, but it was one game of being the backup quarterback. So I guess all year I was really like third string quarterback, even though starting free safety, no big deal. All right. And without further ado. And team captain, what's up? I also allowed 2 touchdowns to LaSalle is my worst moment. 610-632-0975. Without further ado, the influencer himself from ESPN, friend of the program, Dan Orlovsky. Dan, how are you, buddy?
What's going on, man? How are you, bud?
What's up, Dan?
I just want to say you are doing a great service to our 6 o'clock audience who rarely get a guest as good as yourself, my friend.
Oh, I mean, I've never had such praise coming onto a 6 o'clock radio show.
Now, Dan, what motivated you to put out the film that was highly influential of the Philadelphia fan base regarding Carson Wentz and his wide receivers and the wide receiver coaches of the Philadelphia Eagles?
I mean, there wasn't really an initial motivation, to be honest with you, Mark. Like, I watch every game. I rewatch every game that happens in the NFL, and I don't really go in with a motive of trying to find something. I just watch it and kind of let my eyes take me where they're going. And obviously the conversation was, man, Carson Wentz is playing so poorly. So I think in my mind I initially had the thought, like, there's no way that he's playing this bad. Like, that's an unrealistic viewpoint. And I think it's a I don't want to use the word lazy viewpoint, but it's an uneducated viewpoint, I guess you want to call it. And so just watching the game, I saw one play where I was like, man, that's bad by the wide receiver. And then I saw another play where it's bad. And this was within the first 10 plays of the game. And so as the game's going on, I'm starting writing down on my notes. Second quarter, 11 minutes. Second quarter, 7 minutes. Second quarter, 6. And I'm like, man, look at all these plays that this is just poor depth or leverage or angle or alignment or whatever by the receivers. And so I sent out a tweet saying, man, that the performance by the Eagles receivers on Sunday with the details was awful. And then a bunch of people replied saying, prove it. You know, like,
okay.
Show us video. And I said, this is the wrong site to say something like that because I can. And so, you know, I just went to Twitter and kind of made a quick video to kind of show, hopefully people can understand that those little details are the difference between completions and incompletions.
So overall, how would you grade Carson Wentz's performance Sunday against the Seahawks?
Yeah, I would say average. You know, you're putting a letter grade on it,
yeah,
in a C. I'm not. I think that what people don't understand is when I make a claim or say something like I did about the receivers, I'm not absolving Carson Wentz. I don't think Carson's. I expected him to be the MVP of the league, and he's obviously not playing at that level. But this is not a, man, Carson Wentz is falling off the planet. He doesn't know how to play football anymore. We have to move on from him and trade him and get Nick Foles back type thing. Like, this is a quarterback that's playing average football, and he's playing with below-average players who are executing at a below-average level. And so we often talk about football in a finite level, but we forget that it is incredibly tied together. And football isn't just complementary when it comes to offense and defense. It's complementary when it comes to the individualized unit as well. And so if I suck as a quarterback, but my receivers are balling, my receivers aren't going to play as well as they should be. And if I'm stinking as a receiver and I'm balling as a quarterback, well, I'm not. My stats aren't. My performance isn't going to be the same. So he's playing average football, but getting well below average results.
Tell me this: when you go back and you look at, you know, because one of the criticisms is that he holds on to the ball a little too long. Do you think that's because he's waiting on these receivers? They're not running the right route. The spacing isn't there. They're not where they're supposed to be at times.
That's right. I think it's a little bit of everything, man. Like, you're exactly right that those receivers. All right, I'm used to Alshon or Deshaun or, you know, I'm used to Ertz getting out of this cut right now. And I'm where are you? Like, especially when teams are putting their hands on these receivers, like, get open. Now, here's the thing that, here's the reality of Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz is a big play quarterback. He is a Superman mindset quarterback. I said this before. In 2017, he was Patrick Mahomes before Patrick Mahomes was in 2018, right? And so that thought process for him as a player is, I can make any play I want. I can literally make every play. But they don't have the Superman type of receivers. So Doug Peterson knows this. So really what they're doing is they're running a dink and dunk offense with a big play quarterback. And Doug has to call a dink and dunk offense because they don't have the big play receivers. But Carson is still in big play mode. And so Carson needs to you know, especially over the next 5 weeks, like, he needs to be more Clark Kent and less Superman with his mindset. And, yes, he's holding the ball too long because he's going, I can make this play. I know I've seen myself make this play. I've seen Patrick Mahomes make this play. I can go make these plays. And it at times, yes, it hurts the football team. That's just how he's wired.
It's like having a Lamborghini in rush hour.
Exactly.
I
could go make this play.
Right. I do like the idea of the more Clark Kent than Superman in his thought process. That's brilliant. Dan, I do have to ask you about this, because the only play, I thought the Greg Ward hitch route that you pointed out, on point, he ran too deep. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside moved off his mark on the last throw that you broke down and the three throws you broke down. But the first one, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside in the red zone right before the overthrow to Miles Sanders. We'll get to that in a second. The only one I disagreed with was, it looked like to me that Carson threw behind J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. And if he was going to run a slant or a dig, whatever he was supposed to do on that route, it looked like it still would have been behind him. It looked like the throw took him upfield, where you said he drifted. Go ahead and explain that play a little bit more.
Well, the ball ends up behind him because he drifts, yes. That's the exact point. Like, when you're a receiver and it's man-to-man coverage, like, think about when you're playing tag. You're never going to drift into someone who's trying to tag you. You're going to continue to run away from them as best as you can and at the best angle that you can. When you're running a slant and it's man-to-man coverage, receivers do this all the time, that they win on the inside and then they drift upfield because that's where the end zone is. Like, let me just drift upfield. The best I was ever around was Calvin Johnson, would always run, so think of running away to the other sideline to make that guy try and chase you. So that ball looks like it's on its Arcega-Whiteside's backside hip because he's drifting. If he was running on a better angle, that ball is going to be on his chest or on his face mask. But he gets to a point, and then instead of continuing on that angle, it's almost like he makes a right-hand turn in a very small way with his body, and he just drifts, and that's what allows Flowers to undercut him. So, you know, you see it all the time in the NFL where the pass interference is like that guy will grab with his right hand the hip, and he'll pull the receiver and then allow that left arm to come in on that play that we're talking. Like, that's just because the receiver drifted. He never kept his body in between, really, the ball and the defender. And that's why that drift makes it look like the ball's in the back hip.
Dan, with the Eagles getting more healthy on offense, the offensive line, your top two receivers hopefully coming back, can Carson Wentz get more towards Superman as opposed to Clark Kent, or do we have to see Clark for the rest of the year?
I think you have to see Clark for the rest of the year because, listen, like, Alshon is not Alshon from 3 years ago.
Right.
I love him. I don't know him that well. But he's not Alshon from 3 years ago. He's 3 years older. And Nelson has had his struggles. And so for this team to have that December, 23rd game to really matter and to win that game at home, yeah, he needs to be more willing to play a little boring because he doesn't have the superstar player down the field. And then if he can continue, like, it's a very fine balance because there's going to come a handful of moments over the next 6 weeks where he has to be Superman. Like, he will have to do it. And he's going to have great kind of decision making of when that moment is, but he needs to be a little bit more Clark Kent over this next 5 or 6 weeks.
What was your message to the receivers during your video? It was that be where you're supposed to be. What was that?
Be where you're supposed to be. When you're supposed to be there, don't fool the quarterback.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, when a quarterback, when I'm playing with backup players up front, more than likely the ball's got to come out of my hands a little bit quicker, especially when you're playing against fronts that are pretty good. And so when you show me, like, the shallow cross, when Arcega-Whiteside sits down and gives me his hands, you are telling me, non-verbally, throw me the football. And so when you do that, I'm thinking, okay, here it comes. And then when you move from that spot, you sell me out, dude. Like, you can't fool me like that. If you did not give me your hands, that's fine. That's on me as a quarterback. But don't tell me that you want the football right now and then move from that spot.
Dan, last thing for you before we let you go, and we appreciate you coming on again, speaking with Dan Orlovsky, ESPN. Do you see the Eagles making the playoffs?
Mark, I do, man. I rode with them all year. I've said for 6 weeks now that it's going to come down to that home game against the Cowboys at 4:30 Sunday afternoon. So I believe in the quarterback, and I believe in the head coach. And if the defense plays the way that they've been playing, they're going to make the playoffs. Side note, the Miles Sanders throw, he's not going to score a touchdown anyway, so let it go.
I agree. I don't think he was getting to that end zone. He had two corners coming up to make the play. I agree with you on that. Dan, thanks so much for coming on. I know I haven't seen you since training camp. You haven't had, like, five more kids, have you?
No more kids. I'm getting another. My wife decided to get another dog. Why not?
Dan, you're the best. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. Really appreciate. So happy for you, man. Doing a great job at ESPN.
I appreciate it, bud. You guys are the best, man. Have a great Thanksgiving.
Thanks,
all right,
Dan.
You too, Dan Orlovsky. All right, way up against it, obviously.
We're making the playoffs!
How about that? That's all I took from that. Time of the Fanatic is 6:26. And you know what, Sam, real quick, who brought us that fine segment?
Temple Football. Temple Football battles UConn on Saturday, November 30th at 3:30 p.m. at Lincoln Financial Field. Tickets for kids on game day are only $10. Visit owlsticks.com and Sylvania Automotive. Can't remember the last time you replaced your headlight bulbs? Well, now it's time. Visit headlightsavingstime.com to find your perfect pair and get ready for the darkest nights of the year.
Time of the Fanatic, 6:27.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning. The Fanatic.
6 o'clock hour brought to you by none other than the great people of United Rentals Power and HVAC for all your power generation and HVAC rentals in the tri-state area. Visit UnitedRentals.com. Yeah, I still think you threw behind JJ Arcega-Whiteside.
I thought you'd be man enough to say I was wrong.
Man enough.
Wow. Man enough, Trey.
Honestly,
you admit when you're wrong.
I do.
I don't know if you ever have been, but I assume you would be mad enough to admit it.
You know, sometimes the sun, it got in my eyes a little bit. You know, I got a little sweat in my eye, and I was wrong.
All right.
You know, and I do admit it.
You know, did.
I have no problem doing that.
I can't lie. I can't lie to people. I watch it, and I go, the ball's behind him. It's his first read, too.
How long did Dan play quarterback in the league?
Like 7 years, I believe.
Oh.
Had a nice career at Connecticut. He grew up in Bristol, Connecticut, I believe.
Okay, so he's from the area.
So he's from the area. Probably has watched more film than any of us combined.
Wow. Yeah. What do you mean from the area?
Watch a lot of film. He's a quarterback.
He does.
Quarterbacks watch way more film than we do.
They have no lives.
Yeah.
They have babies and watch film.
He was very he's very agitated about people with the Miles Sanders throw. The throw to Miles Sanders in the flat, the first one, he wasn't going to score a touchdown.
I think he had a shot.
So do I. How dare you question Dan Orlovsky? Oh, my God.
I mean, he's got like 4 yards of full speed there.
And can give you just a little.
Yeah.
You know, take some of that.
Yeah. I mean, he has a shot.
Those two DB. Actually, I think it was a linebacker and a DB. Yeah. I mean, yeah, he had a shot if it's a completion. I get it. But no, I don't.
It was an awful thrown ball.
$1,000 right now. Does he score that touchdown?
I'm not taking a $1,000 bet.
$100.
Yeah, I'd do $100.
Yeah, I would probably put $100.
$200? In all seriousness, I don't think it's a guaranteed touchdown. Because people were saying, Carson completes that, that's a touchdown.
Not guaranteed.
No. And people were saying, at least it's a first down. I think it was 1 yard shy of the end zone for a first down.
Yeah, I think he would have gotten it around the 8, and the first down marker was around the 1 or 2.
And then it's a quarterback sneak with Carson Wentz, and the next thing you know, you got a touchdown.
And then you're up 7-0, and it's a whole different ballgame.
I don't think they score a touchdown on that play, I'll put it that way, but I think they score a touchdown on that drive.
Which changes everything.
It does. It changes a heck of a lot, considering he only scored 9 points!
And maybe your confidence doesn't just dissipate.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe your defense doesn't give a touchdown up in 4 plays, 75 yards in 4 plays right after the field goal.
Maybe.
But
I want to see the film. I want to see the film on that. So we'll continue talking about that a little bit later, 7 o'clock. We're going to let you hear, in its entirety, the debate about Carson Wentz and whether or not he is ultimately doomed here in Philadelphia. Which I can't say that a man's just doomed like that. And I understand that he's got malcontents in the locker room. And I understand he's had his own struggles this year. The biggest X factor for me in grading Carson Wentz and being fair is looking at what he has had to work with. And I'm not discrediting Dan Orlovsky when I disagree on one throw. We all have noticed throughout the entire season that these wide receivers have been bad. They have not been willing to make a play. They have not been willing to step up and be the guy for their team and be the guy for their quarterback with all the turmoil that has gone on in their wide receiving core this year, whether that be struggles or whether that be injury. And that, to a point, is very embarrassing. Whether you're a second-round pick like J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, who can barely get on the field, or you're a guy like Mac Hollins trying to prove you're still an NFL player, or you're Alshon Jeffrey proving you can try to be a Pro Bowl-caliber player, or a Nelson Agholor trying to prove you're not just a one-and-done type guy in the NFL where you have one really good year, you help out tremendously in the Super Bowl, and then all of a sudden you're back to thinking too much. There's a lot of things that this wide receiving core has to prove, and they haven't proved any of it. Now, I think a lot of it comes to coaching, and that's the main point that Dan Orlovsky, I think, was making. How are they coaching these players? And, Trey, it's exactly what you've been saying.
Yeah.
Just as an Eagles fan, watching these guys attempt to play the wide receiver position has been dreadful. There's no will in any of these players. And that's one of the things Marcellus Wiley got into about them not having the will to make a quarterback look good. Now, true, it should be if you're an elite quarterback making those guys around you look better. But when the willingness to play isn't there, then what are you even doing out there on the football field? Carson Walsh, their wide receivers coach, has done an abysmal job. I can't see any impact or anybody getting better under him. Mm-hmm. And Mike Groh is an offensive coordinator. Anytime we bring up his name, we always make the joke, well, what is it you say you do here? Well, whenever you have an offensive-minded head coach and an offensive coordinator that's not calling the plays, you can question that. But with Mike Groh, even if you don't have that much influence, and Doug Peterson might not be going to you for a lot of stuff like he might have for Frank Reich, even if you're not going to be that heavy influencer, as we were talking about earlier, what do you do to make sure this offense is in its best position? What, to the best of your ability, what do you offer? We might not lose anything with having you as an offensive coordinator, but what are you offering to your head coach, to your play caller, that's going to make this offense better? Other than going back to the comfort zone, which is wide receivers coach, which is what he's been doing over the last 2 weeks, to try to make those guys look better. And then, according to Dan Orlovsky, they have one of the worst weeks they ever had.
Yeah, you know, he should, and I don't know what he's doing. He probably does go in there and like, hey, man, I found this cut up. But he should be digging through so much film, looking for different wrinkles. It's a copycat league anyway. So why not look at what Frank Wright is doing down there a couple times with some of his offensive little wrinkles that he throws into the game? Why not look at what some of these, even digging into some of these college games? I mean, you have it all at your fingertips. You know, when you go into our database for the NFL, you have everything. Mm-hmm. Every team, every play already cut up, even some college film you can dig into. So why not? You know, if you're not having any influence in what the game plan is going to be, just try to find some new wrinkles to try to add to this to the offense.
Copycat league. Seattle copycatted New England on a trick play, and it worked again. You know, you saw teams come in here and run misdirection on the Eagles and work every time. They have to play to their strengths offensively. I don't think they know exactly what their strengths are, but I also don't think they've been playing to them very well.
No, not even a little bit. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. I want to revisit something we had some fun with yesterday on that fella. What's his name? Mark McGrath, the Sugar Ray. Worst breakup experience. What is your worst breakup experience?
I think you should break up with people as Joel Embiid.
You didn't trust the process? So whatever that might be. Okay. Well, maybe we'll have fun with that. But I have a terrible one. It's not as bad as having Sugar, Mark McGrath break up with somebody.
You can call him Sugar, right?
It's not as bad as that. Are they every morning? Is that them?
Yeah.
Is that them? My youth. 610-632, but I do have a pretty bad one. It was before a holiday, unfortunately. Time of the Fanatic, 643.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning. The Fanatic.
So damn loud.
Coming up 7 o'clock, we'll let you hear in its entirety. It's about 2 minutes. Marcellus Wiley and Michael Vick basically saying Carson Wentz has no shot in Philadelphia. Not the most encouraging thing you want to hear, but a lot of people have been talking about it. I want to be able to give full context of it because some things get taken out for hot take context. Not going to happen here. We'll give that to you in its entirety. And also, Trench Talk today, 7:30, with the great influencer himself, Mr. Trey Thomas.
Yeah.
So we'll get into that.
I don't think what Vic said is really... I mean, he did have a Sith Lord-esque statement in the beginning, but outside of that, his point, I think, is relatively valid.
No, what I'm saying is people will extract tiny excerpts
from Mike Vick
and be like, no, hot take, I'm hot taking.
Yeah, I don't think it was a hot take.
I want to, no, what Vic said is not the hot take. people will support their hot take, taking like 10 seconds of Michael Vick. I want to give the full, and I want to give the full deal. You know what I'm saying here? Because we want to inform.
We're fair.
We're fair and balanced. That's what we are. But what might not be fair is having somebody else break up with somebody for you, right? Like, I know in grade school, when you're little, hey, could you go break up? Like, if you had a boyfriend or girlfriend when you were in grade school, that might happen. Send a friend over to break up for them, right? I never did that because I wasn't allowed to have a girlfriend until college. But anyway, what happened was... Kidding.
So what now?
I'm kidding. Parents say that to their... My mom said it to me all the time. You can't have a girlfriend until you're 35.
So they had that talk with you, what, your junior year? Sat you down, listen, you know.
I think he's still white.
Yeah, right. Don't tell my wife.
Yeah, like, you know, there might be some things, you know. This is how you put this on, you know.
I guarantee you, Joey and Eleanor never had that conversation with me. I think I was
really?
Oh, no. The Birds and the Bees?
Oh, I got handed a Dr. Ruth book.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. And they were just kind of like, here, read this.
Oh, yeah. And really? Dr. Ruth is just wide open. Yeah, man. Oh, yeah. It's just some real wild stuff, man. Yeah. Dr. Ruth was a freak.
Dr. Ruth definitely got down.
She still is. She's still around.
Well, did you ever see the Canadian version of Dr. Ruth?
No.
Dr. Susie or whatever her name is? Oh, my God. She makes Dr. Ruth look like, you know,
a prude?
A chastity lady. You know, I don't know. Somebody who preaches chastity. But no, it's a crazy thing. Basically what happened was, and we played this yesterday, the app Cameo. Mm-hmm. That allows you to reach out to celebrities if you want to wish a friend's happy birthday and you want to use, I don't know, Donovan McNabb, who's on it, you send money to Donovan. He records whatever it is, a 30-second video saying, hey, happy birthday, Bob Cooney. Thanks for supporting the Eagles all those years. Happy, have a great day. And, you know, it's a kind of cool idea, actually. Mm-hmm. But I've never seen this before. Some girl, Cheyenne, was that her name?
Yeah.
Cheyenne.
Such a Cheyenne move.
Cheyenne, they just call her bitch now. Pretty much.
Freaking Cheyenne, man.
What a Cheyenne.
Cheyenne sends a cameo message to Mark McGrath of Sugar Ray fame to break up with her boyfriend who she has a long-distance relationship with.
Not anymore.
Well, that's over. So I think Mark McGrath handled it in the best way possible and said, basically, I don't know how to do this. I've never done one of these before, but she's breaking up with you long distance. She can't handle it. So this got me thinking, you know, we're all dudes here, we're four of us, right? You guys ever had a really bad breakup? What's the worst way? Because this is, like, I rather would have broken up with a girl this way than the one time that I did. And I think I might have told you this before. It happened on Valentine's Day.
Bold strategy.
It was not my strategy. That's not how I drew it up. But she kind of knew it was coming. And I don't know what happened on that Valentine's Day, but she kind of was like, I can tell you're going to break up with me, so just do it. And I was like, challenge accepted. It's over. Like, that's kind of how it
went
down.
Thanks for making this easier.
It's kind of how it went down.
No, never had anything.
Would you ever, Bob, you're shaking your head. You had a bad one?
Do I have a tear coming out of my left eye?
No, I don't mean like a heartbreaking one. Like one that you might rather hire Mark McGrath to break up for.
No, I got broken up with in a weird way one time.
What happened
to you? I was all of in eighth grade. But this is classic.
Okay.
Sixers, Lakers, game six, Magic Johnson starting at center. It was that night.
Really?
Now... The game, I believe, was on tape delay back then. You know, like the 11:30 game. So I'm
trying. Is that black and white, too?
I'm trying to listen to the game, and I'm on the phone with the girl, and she's at her house.
Fair question, Trey.
She's like, yeah, I don't think this is working. I wait, hold on a second. And she puts down the phone, and instead of listening to the Sixers game, I stood there on the phone for about 45 minutes, like, is she going to come back and talk to me?
Wow.
And then finally I hung up, and I said,
oh, Bobby.
Were you watching the game on radio?
I was listening to it on the radio. I was trying to. On my little transistor tray.
TV came the next year, Trey.
Bobby.
Everybody climbed around the radio just hanging out.
The one guy in the neighborhood had the TV. Yeah.
Thanks,
everybody went over.
Everyone on Twitch can see Bob crying over this. Something that happened in eighth grade. But, you know, at least...
Double heartbreak. The Lakers won the title that night.
That's right.
Magic went for like 42 and Kathy broke my heart.
What was worse than that? Kathy breaking your heart or, when you were shot?
Well, the shot, I didn't see it.
I didn't see it.
Kathy kind of threw some hints out
understood.
There.
Understood.
Should have looked at the grassy knoll, Bob.
Once again, we covered the other day that Bob
You think that's where it came from? Because I'm still curious.
Trey?
No, I didn't have any.
You were good?
Yeah.
Yeah, something tells me Big Can of Thunder never had that problem. Hey, we done.
Big
okay.
Big Can stay frothy.
God bless you, buddy. God bless you. I can't think of like, what would be the worst celebrity to break up with you? If you were to pay someone on Cameo to break up with somebody else, who would be the worst?
Somebody tweeted in yesterday, the best would be Danny DeVito. You could spin that as the worst also. That would be pretty good.
Well, if Danny DeVito did it as
Frank Reynolds,
then it's like, I'm actually kind of great.
Dave Chappelle.
Yeah, that's not bad.
The worst would be like a Dog the Bounty Hunter or something.
Who
All right, we got
Mullet. That'd be awesome.
Because it'd be like, you're still around?
Or like Screech from Saved by the Bell. Something like that.
He stabbed a guy.
Yeah.
But
a box cutter.
What the hell, Screech?
In a bar.
Yeah.
That's the way to do it. Who would be the worst? In honor of this Cameo thing that's gone viral with Mark McGrath. Is it McGrath or McGrath?
McGrath.
McGrath. All right.
He says Orlovsky, so don't ask him.
That is
97.5 The Fanatic.